It's The Broker Show. We're talking real estate, investing, local market trends, feel-good stories, mindsets, and strategies for success. Let us know what you want to talk about, and chances are we will. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch. It's The Broker Show with The Broker Joe. I am Etch. How's it going? I know normally you don't hear me opening up the show, but I do have the man, the myth, the legend, The Broker Joe right here. How's it going, bud?
It's going, Etch.
Yeah?
I'm alive.
Yeah, it's a good place to be. It really is. You get to a point, where you're just happy to be here.
So, yeah.
So today's episode is going to be a little bit different. Normally we have like all this this ton of stuff that we have planned to talk to you about, a bunch of things about, real estate and life lessons and all that. And we kind of hit a point here the other day where Joe called me up and he's like, man, I'm feeling drained. I'm feeling like I'm just tired. I don't know what to talk about for the next podcast. I'm like, dude, I feel you. I understand completely. So we kind of redid a little, what we got going on here. Instead of having this whole, I don't want to say scripted, because we're not really scripted. We just have like our bullet points of things that we talk about. I said, let's just talk about where we're at right now. So today's episode, we're calling it Get Your Mind Right, because that's what I feel like we need to do. We live in our head all day, and it's somewhere where we're just kind of trudging around. Sometimes we don't know where we're going. It's like this wonderland of thoughts and, ideas and hopes for the future and stress. And then all of a sudden when that stress starts gaining steam, we just kind of shut down. And it's one of those things that that we all struggle with, I think, especially with COVID. We have the resurgence now of numbers going up from Delta, the variant, and things are unknown. A lot of things are sitting there just going, I don't know what's going to happen next. I barely made it through the first round. Now I'm sitting here looking at a second round. Okay, I got that on my plate. Plus, I have, for Joe, one of the things that I was talking to him about the other day was I said, you and I are two different kinds of people. Myself, I'm the type that I'm like the worker ant. Like, you tell me what to do, I'm out there, I'm rolling with it, I'm going with it. And you're kind of like, I don't want to say the queen, but you're like the leader. You have people who under your brokerage or under your firm, you have lots of people who really, they look up to you. They look at you for advice. They look at you for everything, and you've got to be spot on. So there's a lot of stress involved with what you've got going on. So when it comes to that, how do you really just take a step back? I mean, especially because you can't let others, it feels like at least in your own head, you feel like you can't let the others down. Like as soon as you start saying, okay, I got to pull back a little bit, it's like, well, is somebody that's, underneath me, and I would say underneath you, but, they're your colleagues, but the people who work for you, are they going to notice that I got to step back? Are they going to notice that I've got a little bit of extra, stuff going on in my head and I got to clear this out? How do you go about doing that? What do you do? And I think that that's what we should address today. Just kind of meet you where both of us are at and just kind of talk candidly, open about what we go through and what, you're probably going through the same exact stuff and how we kind of get around it. So I just want to kind of open the show up with that today.
Yeah. So, I'm going to tell you a story.
Yeah, do it.
So I love fishing. I got two fishing boats. I recently bought a little bit bigger of a boat off of a friend.
Yep.
Got a live well. It's got, it's got
ballin'
pole holders, 150 horse motor. I tend to be kind of cheap. This one I got a good deal from a good friend of mine, and we get to go fishing a lot together. So took the kids out and on a local lake here, and took them out, and got the poles all rigged up, started trolling.
Yep.
And of course, you got Zeke, he's, maybe 4 feet.
Yep.
And he's trying to wrangle these poles and the lures and everything. And Zach and Zoe, all four of us out there and varying levels of interest in actually catching a fish.
Yeah.
And then the interest in actually doing what it takes to catch the fish, very low, right?
Oh,
everyone, you put a fish on the line, I'll reel it in, right? Yeah. Everybody. Oh, everybody yeah. in the world, right? Getting to the point, right, where you do it, that's yeah. fishing, right?
Yeah.
Fishing, a lot more fishing than catching. That's just how it works.
Of course.
So I am there running all over the boat, just nonstop, yelling, grab the wheel. Why are you letting, no, it's turning right. No, I'm grabbing this pole. No, you're tangling that one. No, you have to push this bit out. It's going to get tangled with this other one here. And on and on and on it goes for, you know, about 45 minutes to an hour.
They're calling you right now. They're
I should shut my phone down.
It's all good.
And I just took a second, took a breath, and I sat down and said, you know what? This is not fun. We're gonna have so much more fun if I just chill out and I sit here and I'll start with the person that seems to be the most interested in how to get this right.
Right.
Right. And that was Zeke. That was my youngest, right?
Yep.
So I sat down and said, okay, Zach, will you just drive the boat? Absolutely. He wants to drive the boat.
Yeah.
So he drives the boat. I said, I'll just tell you where to go. I'm gonna sit back here and I'm gonna teach Zeke painful step by painful step,
mm-hmm.
how to walk, how to do this, right? Yeah. How to put the lure on, how to wash your line, had all the little steps, right?
Right.
So what I'm getting at here, we had an enjoyable afternoon. Zeke caught a pretty big pike, 24-inch, 25-inch pike. He had a lot of fun. And the point here is everyone has heard the saying, catch a fish and feed someone,
mm-hmm.
or teach a man to fish, and he'll feed himself for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, very simply, I was trying to catch everyone's fish, right?
Right.
And instead, if I took the time to teach, to catch the fish, right? Slow mm-hmm. down, right? And you're gonna enrich someone's life to empower them to catch fish for themselves and teach someone else. Forever, right?
Yep.
So I think anytime that anyone who started a business or has a vision for something and has a task, a job, a process that they've curated it, they've formed it, they've made it theirs, they've shaped it, that's their baby, right? This is their thing. And so anyone else coming into that world, into that circle, it feels threatening, mm-hmm. right? And it feels like, I'll just do it. I'll just do it. Mm-hmm. I've done that. I've had to resist that temptation, that tendency, my entire life with the things that I hold near dear to my heart, whether it's my business, whether, you know, it's anything, right? It's letting go. We've talked about this before.
Yeah,
letting go and teaching someone else to do something instead of defaulting to, well, I know how to do it. I'll just get it done. So the pattern is, yeah, this is the time of year everything is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
That people are panicking, appraisals are stacking up. They're 3, 4, 5 weeks out. There's a lot of elements. I don't want to bore everyone with the details
right.
of all the behind the scenes stuff going on. But if you know, deals falling through, deals come together, falling through again, it's all happening, and then it's happening on many levels with all the agents across the company, and so a lot going on. At the end of the day, it's easy to walk away, to fall away from empowering people,
mm-hmm.
taking the time it takes to empower people, and instead just grabbing a hold of it with your hand and going, I'll solve it. Right. I know what to do. There's too much going on. I don't have time to explain this right now. I'm just going to do it, right?
Yep.
And so resisting that tendency and going, how can I make sure, why am I here? What are my goals? My goal is to be a great broker,
mm-hmm.
and be a good leader in being a servant. And a serving is a servant saying, hey, I'm how can I help you do this? How can I really take time to understand how you see this, how you're feeling this, how you're going through this, so we can walk out the other side of this, both of us being edified, both of us being uplifted, right?
Mm-hmm.
By this experience, instead of me just grabbing the reins, right? And so ultimately, you powerful people create powerful people. And so the other side of this is this, right? It's that when I'm in my muck, when I'm in my mess,
mm-hmm.
I also tend to feel like no one else could possibly understand me.
Mm-hmm.
No one else could understand what I'm going through.
Right.
Right? You feel alone. You feel isolated. You feel like it's only you going through it. and no one can get it. No one can possibly get what you're going through.
No, because it's your own personal struggle, and that's, yeah, I think, where it goes on in your head,
sure,
that way too.
Sure,
that's the hard part about being in your head, I think.
One of the biggest, it's one of the biggest lies that we believe. Mm-hmm. It is a huge lie, and reaching outside of yourself and allowing someone else, it could be your wife, mm-hmm, it could be your husband, it could be your best friend, it could be business partner, it could be even more intentional. It could be counseling. It could be a coach, a business coach, a life coach, someone else, right? And it's easy to be skeptical, right? Very easy to be skeptical of someone else. There's not everyone, every coach out there ain't a fit for everyone,
no,
right? They're not. But the truth is, putting time and effort into seeking good counsel, right? I think of the book of Proverbs. You read the book of Proverbs.
Yeah.
You think of how many scriptures in the book of Proverbs talk about seeking wise counsel,
yep,
wisdom. The wisest man in the world, Solomon, right? The wisest man who ever lived, all he wrote about was seeking more wisdom,
mm-hmm,
right? This is all he focused on, finding more wisdom, right? So you got a problem, you're stressed out, you're overwhelmed, all these things, seek out wisdom. So you know what? Had a call with a gentleman that I value tremendously in my life. He has been a coach, a mentor, a friend to me for years, and I called him. I called him and said, hey, can I get an hour of your time? Got an hour of his time. And he talked me through just some things that were far more complicated in my head than they were in reality,
yeah,
right?
Oh, gosh,
And laid them out. And he's experienced, right? He's 30, 40 years ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, our tendency as a culture, we're all moving so fast, we can't slow down. We can't slow down. We can't evaluate. We can't, and God forbid, we allow someone else to come in and peek into our life and be transparent enough to say, here's the problem. Here's my problem. I can't see a solution. I can't see light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know how to fix it, right? Help me out. What do you see, right?
Yeah.
People have a hard time doing that, especially dudes, Etch, especially dudes. Dudes don't want other dudes to tell them how to do things or what their problem is.
Pride and ego.
No, you got so much ego in the way, so much pride. I'm the man, I got this.
Found out
no man asked for directions, right?
Yeah.
And so
right.
At the end of the day, there's this saying I heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's that a truly happy person is one who can enjoy the scenery on a detour.
I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
They can enjoy the scenery on a detour. They can slow it down.
Mm-hmm.
And just because they're on a detour, right? Life is going so fast. And the detour, you're going to be 7 minutes late now.
Yeah.
Right? Because this unexpected thing. Or that goal that you set, you're not going to be able to set it. Or, you know, whatever it might be. The plans, mm-hmm, that we have that we rely on that,
sure,
define us, right? And so are we going to stew and vent through this whole detour? Or are we going to be able to sit back and enjoy the scenery?
Mm-hmm.
So I am resolved in something I have learned over the years of, and I'm going to learn it over and over and over and over again, but it is something I called my coach, my friend,
mm-hmm,
right? I've talked to three good friends this week, right? Called all of them. Hey, talk to me. What's going on, right? Here's what's going on in my life. How are you? Crazy too, right? It's really good to reach outside of yourself and to talk things out. Words are really, right, really powerful. And if you provide the opportunity, open the door, even a little window, just, mm-hmm, start with a little window, open the door or the window to someone to speak positive words into your life, you're on the right track.
Yeah.
You're already winning, right?
Yep.
And that attitude, that mood, that cloud, it can shape, it can shift, it can go blow away so, so quickly. And the challenges don't disappear, right? But it's dealing with the challenges is different, right? So,
mm-hmm,
everyone's different out there. This is my struggle, right?
Yeah.
Just take it all, pile it all up. You weren't meant to carry all that. Shouldn't be carrying all that.
And that's the interesting thing. I think that a lot of us, especially if you're in a position, I don't want to say a position of power, but I mean like a position of you have other people who work underneath you, or you have a family who looks up to you. It could be friends that look up to you and they look for you for strength. It could be just emotional strength.
Sure.
I got some friends right now going through some really tough stuff, really tough stuff. You know, marriage is falling apart. I've got other friends who are sitting there jobless because radio is just like,
yeah,
in this transitional stage,
yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of friends who they're they don't know what their next step is. They don't know what that looks like. I got some other friends who, you know, they've lost some very close friends to them. due to terrible circumstances. And they're just kind of like, well, what do? Where do I go? You know? And I'm the type of person who wants to help shoulder that with them. I'm the type of person who wants to meet them where they're at and be like, dude, what do you got going? I'm the one who tries to reach out and say, how you doing today? What's been going on? And when, if you're that type of person, you're the type of person who wants to shoulder some of that, that can be draining. It can be really, you know, it can be hard because you're trying to lift that person up. And then once they realize, hey, this person's, you know, regularly checking on me, they're checking out like what's going on in my life. I've shared everything. And now I'm sitting here saying, well, this person's going to call me whenever. And I open myself up to that. I say, hey, call me if you're going through something. But then if I'm going through my own stuff at the same time, it's like, you see that phone call, you're like, oh man, they're calling me. It's the worst time for them to call. I'm not feeling it right now. I'm having a bad day myself. I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah. How am I supposed to be expected to be able to help this person trudge through their own garbage when I can't even seem to trudge through mine? You know, and then I start going in my brain. I go, well, how can I just unpack? Maybe if I just help them unpack, that will in turn help me unpack my own, which it's therapeutic for me. Cause then I'm like, okay, cool. Well, now I need to start. And this was a hard pill for me to swallow, taking my own advice. I could dole out advice all day from my own experiences that I've gone through in life. I mean, divorce, I mean, job loss, you know, addiction, all these different things that I could go on and on and we could have like 50 podcasts about. But I can toss out plenty of that, like, hey, this is what I went through. This is what it was like for me, blah, blah, blah. But then the tough pill to swallow is to listen to myself again and then be like, oh, yeah, there was the voice of reason. Yeah. You had it in you all along, but you just were so bogged down in everything that was going on in life, you just couldn't figure it out. And you couldn't hear that voice, that voice of truth, that voice of reason, that, hey, man, you still got this. Don't you worry about it. You've been down worse roads than this, and you know it. It's just tough sometimes to kind of get through that stuff. So how do you take time, and what do you do to get your mind right? How do you get that headspace back where you're like, okay, clear my mind? Do you go out and plan a big family vacation? What do you do on that vacation? Because I mean, I've gone where I'm like, I'm going to the UP. We went up to the UP, got back, same problems, right back home at my doorstep when I came back. I didn't clear my head. All I did was go out there and enjoy myself and was like, oh, cool, which was great, but I didn't take time to really decompress.
Yep.
And I didn't take time to handle the things that I wanted. So does that look like for you? Does that look like alone time? Does that look like family time? Does that look like I need to meditate? Where do we get that from? Personally, on your end, what is your trick?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to roll back to something you said, though. So that moment when you have someone that's calling you, I know what you're talking about. I think everyone does. And it is the unhealthy expectations that you have on yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what actually creates that pressure. Because if you felt like, if we had no barriers and we were like, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to pick up the phone and tell this guy, hey, life sucks right now. I'm exhausted. What about you? I'm exhausted too.
Yeah.
It's this idea that we have to perform. Right?
Yep.
The idea of performance, the expectations that we set on ourselves, that we perceive from others. We live in a world full of this, right? Mm-hmm. I talk to my kids about peer pressure. Adults are the worst at peer pressure in the world. We do everything everyone else does. We say everything everyone wants us to say. And then when if they don't like what we say, we probably got our own group that does, right?
Yeah.
We got our own tribe. We got our own group. And they all kind of like, we all kind of agree. We wink at each other. Our worldview, all this stuff, right? And we're all, but outside of that, right? We're managing expectations, right? Yeah. We're just getting by. And so we're scared of honesty. Someone sticks their head up, a leader sticks their head up, you get whacked down.
Yeah,
you get whacked right down. It's like whack-a-mole, right? Anyone sticks out, it's, we found a tweet, we found a word, we found a post, we found something you said, you know, that we don't like, right? And now we want everyone to come after you and pile on. And the reason that you're under the gun, because you stuck your neck out. Your head popped up. right?
Yep.
You went, hey, I actually have some talent that God gave me that I could probably apply and help this situation. Oh, God forbid that work out, right? We're gonna find something. So that's kind of the world we live in. It's unfortunate. It's this expectation we walk around with, right? Mm. So we can get, we drop the expectations, right? We get an environment where we, and I understand people have jobs, careers, things that they have to navigate some of these challenges. But man, I wish it wasn't so sometimes, right? I wish that we could be transparent and say, pick up the phone with that person, that guy, that gal, say, hey, I'm at a rough time. Right. And then that leads into, because yes, the conversation that you preach to others, it can edify, it can build you up and go, this is great stuff. I need to do this, right?
Yeah.
And so when you go to my pastor, he tells me, Joe, I'm talking to myself, right? I think the guy is incredible. He's changed my life, right?
Right.
The things he said, the things he's conveyed, and I'm up there just talking to myself, right? I'm going through this. This is what I'm going through, right? And so I think that's good. But how do I cope with it? I think that in the past, and in a lot of ways still, I travel all the time. Right?
Yep.
I've been to 36 countries all over the world. I love to travel. I love adventure. I love to explore. Always have the next two or three hit lists in my mind.
Yeah. Where are you going to go next?
Exactly. Where I'm going to go next. But what I've told myself, the way that people cope is I think they put things on the calendar to say, that's going to pull me through. It's almost like a lifeline, that vacation, that flight, that trip, that break. It's a lifeline that they're dragging themselves through the mud to cross the finish line to get on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
What happens on vacation? Takes half a day to pack. You forgot half the stuff you needed at home. You get there. Everyone's tired. Kids are ornery. No one's getting along because everyone's honestly been neglecting their relationships for 6 months now.
Yeah.
Right? So you're trying to get along with people in your own family that you don't know that well.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. You got all this stuff to sort through. You're trying to have fun, but really, you're behind on all the things you need to talk about with your wife or your husband. And your kids, they're like, Dad, we can't go from 0 to 60, right? They're not saying that, but that's how they feel.
Right.
They don't feel close to you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel close to you. You know, you're trying to have fun with them and connect with them on a level that is, it makes you feel good as a dad or a mom. Yeah. It's not happening, right? Because it doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work that way. You might have fun. You might have moments where you're out doing something you really wanted to do. But more often than not, I've come home from trips feeling, did I get extra sleep? Yeah. Did I get to do things I had never done before and check off a box, right? Yes. Experiences. But were my ultimate goals, the things I really value, the closeness to the family, the experiences with each other, building each other up, having fun together, those things were lost. Those things didn't come together like I wanted them to. So the truth is the margin, the white space, we need it. I need it every day. Do I get it every day? No. I don't get it every day. I need it every day.
Yeah.
I want it every day. My goal is to have it and find it every single day, to find the margin and the white space I need. I want to say something. Less is better. Less but better. Less but better. It's just a couple words, but think about it. Less but better, right? How much time do we get around the people we want to get closer to, right? Like in my case, my family. I'm around them a lot,
right?
But am I exhausted? Am I grumpy? Am I tired? Is my mind somewhere else? Is my focus lost, right?
Check.
Sure, sure. All those things, right? So all this time that's wasted, you know what? Less but better. I think for some people that could be key. Right now in their life, say, give yourself permission to go, it doesn't have to be an hour a day. It can feel overwhelming. I don't have time for this crap. I don't have time for this. I don't have time to figure all this out. Because in your head, it feels daunting. It feels huge. I just don't have an hour. I don't have 5 hours. I don't have two. But so take less, but make it better. Take the little you have and really make it good. Take this thing right here and shut it off.
Yeah.
shut it off, right? That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And then be honest. Hey, Zeke, buddy, the next 30 minutes is all yours. What the heck do you want to do?
Yeah.
Let's go crazy, right? Let's have fun. So in our mind, I'm like, just going out and jumping on the trampoline sounds sweaty.
Yep.
I don't know where my shoes are. It's probably wet out there. I took a shower about half an hour ago. I go out there and I get sweaty and I have to take another shower.
Yep.
Oh, man. I'm probably going to get hurt. He's probably going to want to do backflips. I can't do backflips.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Something so simple, but over and over and over again, we talk ourselves out of it. We drag it down. We make it feel like we can't possibly have the time to do it, which to him, a consistency, less but better every day. 5 minutes on the trampoline could make his world.
Yep.
Could make his world better, mm-hmm. right? And so 10 minutes in the pool, 5 minutes throwing the football, mm-hmm. right? Run down to the park, go grab an ice cream. Little things like this, right? If we would just put this stupid thing down
mm-hmm.
and we would say, I'm clearing my head.
Yep.
I'm going to make this time priceless right here over and over and over again. I have friends. I have people. I'm not saying I'm great at this, but I have friends that are, right? And there is an awesome movie, and I'm going to remember what it is here in a second. I shouldn't say it's awesome until I remember what it is. But there's a scene in it.
Yeah.
And there is the protagonist, the guy with the gun, he's a badass guy. He's really good at what he's on a vengeance. He's on a tear, right?
Yep.
And there is this police officer that comes on the scene. Maybe you'll know what it is when I tell the story. He comes on the scene and he catches this guy in the act of finishing off this crew of despicables, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy stands over him. This officer is caught off guard. The protagonist standing over him with a gun says, and asks him what he's good at. Is he a good cop? And he's crying. He thinks his life is over. Right. He says, no, I'm not. He goes, are you good at this? Are you good at this? What have you done? And he goes, no. And he's crying. He's just saying, I'm not that great at my job. I'm kind of average and kind of this, kind of that. And he goes, are you a good dad? And the guy says, his life changes in this moment in the mm-hmm. film. And he says, yeah, I'm a great dad.
Yeah.
I spend time with my son every single day.
Right.
And the guy just unloads, he starts crying, and peace comes over him.
Yeah.
Right? Peace. And if you watch the movie, I can't remember what this friggin' movie is. I'll have to post it later.
Yeah.
Right? But he has this life epiphany with his life flashing before his eyes.
Right.
He realizes he's everything he wants to be.
Yeah.
Right? He's everything he wants to be.
Yep.
He's a good dad. Yep. It meant the world to him that he was a good dad. He spends a little time with his son every day. He's a busy guy. He's a detective of some sort, blah, 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 blah. And so at the end of the day, we sometimes, if we don't ever get a chance to have those moments, make that moment for yourself. I need to make those moments for myself where I go, hey, I'm checking the boxes I really want to check.
Right.
I'm a good friend. I get to spend this time and not pretending and lying to myself that some vacation I take in 6 months is where it's all going to be solved.
Right.
Where it's all going to be fixed magically. Mm-hmm. Right. It'll slow down. It'll get better. It'll be better. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's truth there, but man, we can take that truth and we can stretch it and we can choke ourselves and our families and our friends and our careers and our happiness. Right. Yeah. Take the detour, slow down, smell the roses. Stop and smell the roses.
I like
that. That's my really short answer. It took me like 30 seconds.
No, that's good. I really like that. Because, I mean, the things that I'm getting out of it is not necessarily in everything you do, but it's kind of that same mantra of under-promise, over-deliver. That same type of idea. Like in anything that I do, I never like to give all these grandiose ideas mm-hmm. of things that I could do and be like, oh, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. I can do that. I've gotten myself into trouble doing that before because when it was not what they expected, because when you explain something that you're going to do or something that mm-hmm. you plan on doing, whether it be with your kids, whether it be with a colleague or something like that, they automatically, they can hear the words coming out of your mouth. But the thing is in their mind, it's going to be completely something different because whatever is in their imagination of what this could be. They're not seeing what's in your head. So then they think it's something else. And then when you don't deliver properly, then it's like, oh, that was a disappointment. I learned the hard way a couple of times with that. So now I like to just say, hey, we're going to do this. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to unveil it this way once I'm done now, whether it be spending time with family, whether it be spending, you know, some time, something on the podcast or whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be like, holy cow, that was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. But just little extra things that make it so that it was that much more special, so that the person on the other end seeing this, and for me, that fulfills me. It makes me feel good inside. It makes me feel like I did something right. Again, if it's in my job, then I feel like I did my job right. If it's time with my kids or my wife or something.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, the other day, we were getting ready to go somewhere, my wife and our daughter and I, and I was getting ready to take a shower. So I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of scrolling through. And I see that on one of the local sites, there was somebody who just about, 3 miles away from our house, was selling little mini sunflowers.
Okay.
They had a whole big garden of them. They had, like, they were putting them in little bouquets and they were $5. So I threw clothes on real quick, right out of the shower, and I drove. And I didn't tell my wife where I was going, nothing. Mm-hmm. And she calls me. She goes, where are you going? I said, don't worry about it. She's like, you got to be back. We got to leave. I'm like, I get it. Just chill out, relax. Mm-hmm. I said, I got to go take care of something. So I went and I bought a little bouquet of the sunflowers. She loves sunflowers. So I brought them back and popped them in a vase and I said, there you go. And she, whole day, rest of the whole day was like, that was all it took.
Yeah.
Something that small.
Yeah.
Thinking of somebody else. And the rest of the day, I got to
enjoy. Don't you feel great?
Oh,
you feel great?
I felt great. And it wasn't because I felt great like, oh, yeah, look at me. I'm the man. I'm the good husband. It was more so going, I made my wife's day in the smallest way possible, but look at the mood that she's in now. It set us up for a great car trip. You know, even the tough conversations were easier to talk through because we were both in a different headspace. I felt good that I made her happy. She felt good that I thought about her on the outside of things to make her happy. So it's just the little things that I think that they kind of muck everything up. You see, you hear in your marriage, you'll hear things like, well, you're not doing enough for me. You don't do this. You don't do that. I need this. I need more romance. I need you to help out around the house more. I need you. I need. Then you got your kids doing the same thing. Then you got your boss doing the same thing. And that's where it gets mucky. So then how do you start pulling those things
apart? I'm telling you, Etch, I'm telling you that it's not as big and as daunting as it feels sometimes. It's just not. I am telling you. So I am not the absolute authority. I didn't write an award-winning book, but I've been married almost 15 years.
Yeah. Which in today's day is like, whoa, what?
Sure, sure.
That's an accomplishment.
Almost 15 20. Years.
It's like the Purple Heart.
Sure. And I'm pretty young for that, right? So we've been through a lot together. But the reality is that the margin in that white space is easy to find.
Yeah.
Everyone listening to me right now has something, and you know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is if you let that thing go. And there are things that you feel like you just can't live without. Right? Mm-hmm. This is just what I do. This is who I am, right? So if you let some things go, change some things, just built in a little more margin and white space, it feels so overwhelming. This is why people feel like, and I've been so guilty of this, lying to myself, saying I'm going to fix it all on that vacation in 3 weeks, on that, when you know, next week it's going to be slower. I'll get time to talk about that. I'll get time to sort through that thing. And so, I think we're I got a date night coming up, Etch. I don't know if we're about out of time, but I got to go on a date. So it is date night.
Nice.
And I look forward to date night. I try to protect it with all I've got. So
you have to.
It took me almost 15 years to learn that. Yep. But
it's important.
I do.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. We've been doing it for.
Ditch the kids, which is why we need to have your daughter start babysitting soon so that I can drop mine off at yours and I can get a date night.
Yep. Yep. Just started high school.
Isn't that crazy?
I dropped her off this morning.
Man, what's that like?
For the first time me bringing her to school. Yeah. She started yesterday. Today was second day. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
That's a whole new ball of worms.
What's crazy is one thing when you see her in the house.
Right.
But then when she walks into the building with all these teenagers, you realize.
That's when it hits you.
You look around, you see all these teenage boys, and you're like,
yep.
Now I got to drive away.
Yep.
I don't know if I want to, right?
Mm.
So she's smart. She'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Well, and that's where it comes from, you know, you as a father prepared her. And her mother.
All I could.
Did the same thing. You did everything that you could, and now it's kind of like, okay, well, let's see how this works.
Yeah.
Get your mind right. That's what it's all about, and that's what we thought we'd share with you today. Really not sure exactly what the next topic's going to be. That's
no idea. No idea.
We're just going to kind of start going with things, and we'll just run with it. I'm sure a lot of it'll be with, brokerage and real estate stuff, because we have those undertones of. That's what Joe's passion is, and we're going to keep rolling with that. But I think we're just going to meet you where we're at and just kind of just talk about what's on our mind a little bit more. You know, kind of fuse the best of both worlds.
Edge, I talked to a goat today.
Yeah.
I talked to a goat. Did you see my social media?
I did not yet. I haven't been on.
If you haven't seen my social media yet, you've got to go see the goat I talked to.
Yes.
I was driving down the road just a few minutes ago, and there is a goat chilling on the side of the road, re-eating the grass right next to the road. I stopped. And I talked to him for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was awesome. He stared at me for a while. I invited him into the car.
Yeah.
He didn't take me up on it, but maybe next time.
He didn't have any good grain or grass.
I should have had goat feed.
Yeah. Right? Where are you at, man? I got grain for days. I can hook you up. I got a horse. It's all set, buddy. But
next time, guys, follow us on social media.
Yes.
Go to Instagram, go to Twitter, go to Facebook. Follow along. If you're letting something go, I would love to hear it. Post it. Be brave. Post it. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep, that's good stuff. So with that being said, I am Etch.
I'm the Broker Joe. Look forward to seeing you next time.
And we're out.
Over and out.